What's up and welcome back to the latest Kind of Funny screencast, where each and every week we get together to review the latest in TV and movies. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined after this beautiful, illustrious Thanksgiving break with the one, the only, Big Kev Dog.
What up, guys?
How you doing, Kev?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Watch The Great Season 2. Oh my God, that show is a 10 out of 10. Watch it on Hulu. Great? Oh, it's so good.
What is The Great?
The Great, it's about Catherine the Great. It's mostly untrue story, or occasionally true story of Catherine the Great.
Is it in the same cinematic universe as Downton Abbey?
Not even a little
No,
bit.
But it is in the same cinematic universe as Love Actually. So
no, still not that.
That's great.
No.
It's just the continuation of that. She's Catherine the Great.
Yeah, it's got Elle Fanning and Nicholas Holt. Danielle watches it. She loves it. I watch it. They swear a lot. They say a lot of curse words in it. It makes me scared. They say the F word a lot, Tim, and I don't like the F word.
No, and you're scared of it. Of course, that voice you hear is ew, God, I don't like that. We have Nick Scarpino.
What's going on, Tim? I'm excited to talk about Hawkeye.
That's what we're talking about today, everybody. Of course, this is the fifth Disney Plus show, the 18th Disney or MCU project this year alone. Crazy stuff, but it's happening. Episodes 1 and 2 premiered last week. We watched them during the Thanksgiving break. Now we are about to review it and talk all about it here. And then we will be reacting to episode 3 on Wednesday when it comes out Tuesday night at midnight. Of course, this is Screencast. Like I said, we do the show every week, sometimes multiple times a week, including this week. And you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you wanted to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast and we'll be right there for you. So without further ado, I want to get right into it. Kevin Coelho, what did you think about Hawkeye?
I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It goes really kooky with the tracksuit mafia people.
The dude bros.
But I love it. I it had me laughing. There's something about it looks like a real like a movie, you know, where it doesn't have that emptiness that I've been complaining about. Like all the sets look really full and legit, and what's the name of the girl that plays Kate Bishop?
Haley Steinfeld.
Haley Steinfeld. So good, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. Yeah. So far, I'm really intrigued, too, with the story. All right.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Tim, if I may have the floor.
You may, Nick. Of course. The floor is yours.
I think the show shines a lot when it's Haley Steinfeld and Jeremy Renner. I think those they're two, the caliber of actors that those two represent, you know, coming from film, I really do think it elevates the project. And obviously, Vera Farmiga coming in as well in the supporting cast.
Can she do wrong? That is my question. She's so good at just looking like are you bad or are you good? Whose side are you on?
We don't know. And of course, they got Linda Cardellini back as well.
She's definitely bad.
I don't know how many episodes she's going to be in. I assume she's just going to kind of keep calling and being like, one more day, three more days, 4 more days till Christmas, right? Because it's that countdown. But I like the setup of this. I like that it's just about Kate Bishop kind of not realizing the gravity of wearing that costume. Getting into trouble, and then Hawkeye having to go on a quick adventure to get it back, save her, and then figure out what the nefarious plan is here. It's cool. It's smaller. And that's what I think a lot of these shows should be. It's just a little one-off adventure. It's like a one-off comic book run, and I like it. I think they have great chemistry together.
Yeah, I am absolutely loving it so far. I'm not surprised at that at all because the original Hawkeye comic that this is semi-based on, you know, MCU always does kind of loose adaptations to things, is one of my favorite comics of all time. And I think that it is doing a fantastic job of doing that MCU translation where it's not exactly the same, but it takes the elements that really kind of matter, but adapts it with that MCU kind of wrapper and makes everything kind of just have that little bit of polish and shine. And I think that it's a polish and shine that we haven't always consistently got with these shows. But I think that, like Kevin was saying, this is the most cinematic of them so far. I think Falcon and Winter Soldier would have definitely be the one closest to this in terms of the way that it was shot and the way that it was presented, at least. But with this, especially episodes 1 and 2, episode 1 ending leading right into episode 2, it's like, oh, there's like, this was almost just a long movie as opposed to more episodic style content. And I wonder if the remaining episodes are gonna continue that trend or if they're gonna be a little bit more kind of over and over, same type of setup where we see like the reveal at the end of episode two. I imagine we're going to get a lot more reveals at the end of episodes going forward. But the thing I like most about it is the way that it is depicting Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye and how the MCU Hawkeye could never be the Hawkeye from the comics because of the setup that he's had. And I think that one of the wisest decisions they've made with the MCU Hawkeye is his relationship with female characters over time. Like we saw him in Age of Ultron kind of be there for Scarlet Witch and be that mentor kind of leader character to like get her to enter the fray and become an Avenger. And then now we see him kind of like being this mentor character to Kate Bishop in a much more aggressively like one-to-one way, right? But also I just really like his family dynamics. I think that it's fun having him with the family. I think that this show does a good job of kind of utilizing our knowledge of the MCU and the timeline and all that stuff to really kind of make little moments feel that much more important. This isn't just, oh man, is he going to make it home for Christmas? This is his first Christmas in 5 years with his kids, you know, and his family. Like there's these, like this subtlety to it that, you know, at most points isn't subtle, but I like that it's earned, I guess that's a better way to put it. Because I believe in him as a dad. I believe that he cares about his kids because not only have we seen him literally do anything it takes to save his family, we're also getting these moments with him and his family now that feel like believable moments. Like there's one moment, I think in episode two, where he's putting the kids in the car to send them to the airport. And he's like, the one rule is, you know, don't lose Nate. It's like, oh shit, where's Nate?
Where's Nate?
Like, yeah. It's so fun because we all look at Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye and kind of go like, eh, whatever. But I think that already in these two episodes, we're getting so much more to him. And go back to my point about the female characters, like obviously his relationship with Black Widow has been really kind of his main plot point over the last like 10 years in the movies. So it's like there's always been that. But I love his relationship with Linda Cardellini. I love that there's not the traditional like he's lying to her like, I don't know, I'll be there, but whatever. She knows exactly what's going on. She almost is like one step ahead of him of like, oh, it's those guys again. Like, duh, damn, I guess you got to deal with this. And I like that. It's refreshing because I feel too often this same story would just be like, she's nagging him and he's like, oh, this is my one more thing I got to do. Because remember, Hawkeye has retired at this point and come back out of retirement multiple times. So,
yeah. And I like as part of that, you know, part of this, the undercurrent of this whole show is him chasing that, him being chased by his past, right? Him sort of being haunted by what he did when he was Ronin and seeing that. And I love that she knows, and I love that she's like, you know, did you solve the little wardrobe problem? And he's like, I got that, but we got to get, you know, got a couple more things to do before I come in, because obviously Kate's been brought into the fold. But nothing's, you know, just seeing him walk around New York, obviously the city that he saved first and foremost, and then having him save the world later. So it's like twofold with New York and having people just everywhere he goes. Like, I love that scene where the guy's like, you don't have to pay. And he goes, no, I'll pay. And he goes, no, you saved us. You saved us all. And he's not, it's not a good thing, right? His reaction to it is not, it's very uncomfortable because he knows what.
He's embarrassed, right?
Like, well, I felt like it was more the fact that he's ashamed. I think he thinks like he did, but also at what cost? And what did he do to get there, right? It obviously cost him his best friend's life. He obviously went a little, you know, into the dark side with Ronan and killed a bunch of people, and he's not proud of that anymore. And we see that also in with the very first scene we see him, which I think we should talk about this a lot, when they go to Rogers the Musical, and it's this beautiful, glossy, shiny thing, and it's inaccurate, and it makes no sense, and it's Ant-Man like, because he's like, that guy wasn't there, and that was Ant-Man, but that's not really what he's saying. What he's saying is like, this is not, it wasn't happy-go-lucky when we had to do this. This was traumatizing to us. Having said all of that, if Disney doesn't make Rogers the Musical a freaking thing, I swear to God, that's a huge missed opportunity. I would go see that musical because that song, I Can Do This All Day, is the slap.
Now, Nick, would you be surprised to know that Disney released a full 4.5-minute version of it?
Because
they did. And it's out there. It
doesn't surprise me at all.
It's awesome. Genius. It is so cringy and it's so bad in the perfect way.
This is Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark right there. Somebody was like, yeah, let's channel that energy into Rogers the Musical. But I also love that it's just everywhere in New York, right? Like that's, if you've ever been to New York during when there's a big show running, they do. They promote the heck out of it. And it's a cool, an amazing thing. The guy that played Rogers and just the way they're all dancing and singing. Great voice, great performance, 10 out of 10.
A lot of them are actual Broadway people. That's not surprising, but there's a lot of fun cameos for the theater nerds out there from people from Rent, people from Hamilton, things like that. So that's fun. I absolutely love that. I mean, that's my thing is like, I knew I was going to enjoy the show, but I really think they knocked it out of the park from the very beginning. Like I was so hyped for the first like half of episode one. And then there's like a cool down moment that I feel like was kind of necessary. And then they bring in the auction and bring out the Ronin stuff. I'm like, damn, they got a cool story here. They're really making use of the lore and stuff. I love the opening scenes of the flashback to 2012 New York and seeing Kate Bishop like see this like destruction all around her and then looking out and seeing this human Hawkeye do these amazing things. And I love that that's kind of her origin story. And like, again, like Nick was saying, so much of this is tied to New York. So it's cool to see us go back to that and have it not just feel like, oh, hey, you know this thing, we're going back to it. It's like it works because of many elements, which is Hawkeye being this guy that was in New York with Kate Bishop, who is also this archer. And I think the opening credit scene of like the super fun credits with the dope ass animations and the style of the comics is so cool. But I like that they use that for the storytelling of showing her kind of failing some things, but then like growing and getting better and like winning the fencing tournaments and doing all the archery and all the different types of martial arts and stuff. Like that was super rad.
And I also love, by the way, like they did something very smart with that, right? They're like, okay, we're going to explain that over the last 10 years, she's been training in every possible way to be Hawkeye, to be the new Hawkeye. But then when she goes up against the tracksuit mob for the first time, she does well, but she doesn't do, like, she gets kind of her ass kicked a little bit too. And so I love that they've left room a little bit for that mentorship, because I think that's an interesting story. I think it's going to be cool to watch him sort of like learn, like teach her, but also learn from her and learn from like where, what she's all about. Because she's not jaded. She does have that, like a little bit of hope left for wanting to protect things.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. The end of 2021 is here, so we're all looking for the best gifts for our favorite people. Well, MeUndies has you and your bottom covered with their ultimate gift guide, so you can save time and surprise everyone with the coziest gifts ever. Of course, I absolutely love MeUndies. I have for years. I'm wearing the lounge pants and the socks and the undies right now, and I love having my entire body covered in this soft micromodal fabric. The new MeUndies holiday collection features classic plaids and sweater-inspired prints that will soon be new favorites. Their undies, loungewear, and sleepwear are made from soft, breathable, stretchy fabrics, ideal for sitting fireside with loved ones. Available in sizes extra small through 4XL, MeUndies has something for everyone. MeUndies has a great offer for you. First-time purchasers get 15% off and free shipping. Your days of fighting for your life in the mall parking lot are over. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Next up, shout out to Trade. Whether you're a coffee nerd or a coffee newbie, you need to hear about Trade Coffee. They want to make every cup of coffee your best ever. Trade matches you to a selection of their over 400 craft coffees, all based on how you answer their coffee quiz. They consider whether you like French press, auto brew, or even cold brew and pair you with the perfect choice for your taste. And if you don't love it, they'll replace it with a different bag for free. Trade's awesome. The quiz is super fun. I love that they send a bunch of fun flavors. And hey, coffee's always great, right? For our listeners right now, Trade is offering your first bag free and $5 off your bundle at checkout. To get yours, go to drinktrade.com/kindoffunny and use promo code kindoffunny. Take the quiz to start your journey to the perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny for your first bag free and $5 off your bundle. And this holiday season, give the coffee lover in your life the gift of better coffee too, with their own personalized gift coffee subscription from Trade. Again, that's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny. Next up, I want to give a shout out to Warby Parker. Warby Parker provides exceptional vision care online and in stores. And now that it's the end of the year, don't let your FSA or HSA dollars go to waste. Put them to good use on Warby Parker prescription glasses, prescription sunglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. And Warby Parker's contacts line, Scout, brings you a 90-day contact pack for only $55. G has been loving Warby Parker for years. And Blessing recently has been doing this trial try at home program, which is awesome. They sent him a bunch of glasses. He's checking them out and he's really excited about it. You too can try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses to try at home for free for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. They ship free and include a prepaid return shipping label. Couldn't be easier. You can try 5 pairs of glasses at home for free at warbyparker.com/kindoffunny. If you want to try the glasses, you got to go to warbyparker.com/kindoffunny. And finally, shout out to Shin Megami Tensei 5. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is the newest installment of the acclaimed JRPG series developed by Atlus. You'll play as a young high school student who's granted an accursed power to save his life. He becomes a new being that's neither human nor demon, a Nahobino, and is suddenly transported from modern Tokyo to a post-apocalyptic world. You'll explore the demon-infested wasteland of an enigmatic realm that's filled with mythical deities and demonic tyrants in constant conflict for survival. If I had a nickel. Search for answers and forge your own path in a battle between light and dark, and your choices will dictate the fate of the world. Turn formidable foes into worthy allies by recruiting them via negotiations, and then fuse them to create demons customized to fit your playstyle. Shin Megami Tensei 5 has been fully rendered in 3D, utilizing Unreal Engine 4, a first for the mainline Shin Megami Tensei series. You can order the deluxe and standard editions of Shin Megami Tensei 5 today on the Nintendo eShop.
But having said all that, I do think there's a couple criticisms I want to throw down real quick. One is that we get a little, like, the auction part and the bad guys, all that stuff gets a little muddled for me. I don't love what's going on there. I'm not even quite sure what's happening, and it's not very interesting to me. And I think it's because, and this is no disrespect to the actor, but I don't love the stepdad character. I don't know what they're trying to do with that, mm-hmm. but I just feel like every time he's on screen, he's not dynamic enough, mm-hmm. and I don't think he's written well enough to feel like there's any tension in those scenes.
I feel like they're setting it up so that Vera is the...
Vera is
like,
definitely going to be the bad guy, for sure.
Yeah, the top dog, and that dude is her, like, top henchman, right?
Yes, I think that's that, but I just feel like this guy, I wish this was like Pedro Pascal. I wish this was like a slightly better or more notable actor. And I think that they wrote him kind of poorly, because it's not clear what they want us to feel when he's in these scenes. And I know he's a red herring, but still, it's like these. I kind of get bored when he's on screen. I don't know why. I can't quite place what's going on with him. But his dynamic with Vera Farmiga and Vera Farmiga's with Hailee Steinfeld, I just feel like it's a little bit muddled and not the interesting point of the show for me. Really, the show really shines when it's Jeremy Renner and Hailee Steinfeld. Everyone else, I feel like it's still that problem with these Disney Plus shows where they get one or two high caliber actors, but then everyone around them are just... they just can't hold scenes as well as the big dogs. So other than that, I mean, I think the show is shot well. I would disagree. I still think that it feels like a really well-produced TV show. I don't feel like it's that cinematic, only because a lot of the way the stuff shot, yeah. Specifically the scene where they were doing the bidding down in the wine cellar, that mm-hmm. just felt really clunky. It felt like these guys come through the wall and everyone's kind of walking around. It didn't have a sense of energy or inertia. I just didn't agree with that.
When I was saying it feels more like the movies, I didn't mean in the way that it was shot as much as like the sets. They don't feel empty or like...
Well, they shot on location, yeah. That was a great idea, right? Yeah. Actually shooting on the streets of New York and actually shooting in like places really adds a lot of production value for sure. Tim.
Yeah, and to be clear, I want to say this. When I say cinematic, I don't mean necessarily the way it's shot. It is more just it's shot or edited like a movie. Like the edit feels more movie-like and paced that way. And on top of that, like the way that the score kind of is just ever-present and it has that plucky kind of holiday score that like TV shows don't have, but movies do have. I actually think the show is not well shot. I was very surprised at how many times the camera's kind of blocked by somebody's back and not in an interesting way, where we're trying to follow the fight choreography. I think because it was shot on location, they weren't really given the freedom to have the like just movement to be however they want. So like there's a lot of scenes that I get that they're trying to show that she's not perfect and she's not totally ready to take them down, but it kind of felt like she was struggling as an actress, not as a character.
Well, as a stunt person, right?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a lot of it's a little bit of a downer. I mean, I don't think it kills the show, but I do think that they just don't have the budget to shoot these things like they would shoot Avengers, right? If you want to see a scene like this, like contrast that scene to when like Captain America fought Winter Soldier for the first time, or like anytime anyone squared off against him in that movie, where you've got 30 cuts, 10 different camera angles, crane shots, dollies, explosions happening in the background, and they just can't do that with these shows. But I think what they're doing is they're choosing instead to focus on sort of like the strengths of the actors, and Hailee Steinfeld is just the most charmingly fun person to watch on screen. She's just knows what she's doing. She's got great comedic chops. She's a great dramatic actor as well. And so anytime she has that range that you would hope that your lead would have in a movie, let alone a Disney Plus show. And so that's coming through, and that alone, I just want her to hang out with Jeremy Renner, and I want to see them become like her become the new Hawkeye. I think that's going to be, that's the fun of it. Everything else, I did not like the end of season of the second episode where we get to the big baddie and she's listening to some sort of music and turns around. And it's another one of those weird reveals where I'm like, maybe I'm supposed to know who this person is, but this just looks like an actor I've never seen before. Yeah, and it's such a letdown.
Like comic book people.
No, not really. I mean, this I feel is set up of like, we don't know who, I mean, I know who she is, but not from the comics. She's not in the Hawkeye comic, but it's more of a setup for, there's a reveal of there's this baddie that's a woman. I think that was kind of the shock, is like you didn't expect it to be her out of anybody, like maybe the stepdad or somebody. But
that wasn't a shock for me, because just like Kevin was talking about, I expected it to be Vera Farmiga.
Or that.
Right. So her turning around and being just this person that we haven't seen before, I'm like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, they got to stop doing that. At least put an actor in that we know. Like, wait, it's a cool reveal. Like, oh, I didn't know that person was doing this.
Is that not Echo?
It is Echo. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but we wouldn't know who's that
Echo?
Is from.
I don't know
that
was.
Oh, I thought from the Disney like event thing. Like, that's the only thing I know her from. Probably going to be a show.
Yeah. They're setting it up. So, like, next week, we'll have a lot more answers.
To me, that was like, oh, okay. This is someone, because there's going to be a show about this person.
Yeah,
what
sure.
What I like about the show right now is how the digital kind of one-shots that they're committing to for all these Disney Plus shows, not all of them, but most of them, I love it. And I know that not everybody's, like, people get like up in arms about it. We're like, oh, it doesn't look as good as the movies. I just love that they're committing to it, and it's this stylized thing. Like, the opening shot is all one shot, and that's so freaking cool, even if a lot of it's digital. But I think it's cool. Like, I think that it's the stylized thing where these are comic book TV shows, and I feel like kind of having that stylized take on them every once in a while kind of like makes it feel like its own thing, as opposed to just like trying to just be a movie all the time. Cause I don't think that everything has to be that.
No. And I think you can play around the format a little bit, but I liked parts of that scene. I love when she sees him. I thought that scene kind of dragged a little bit, cause we get this dad character that I wish was a more notable actor. And it's very weird to me. Sometimes they've done this a couple times now. It's very weird to me that they cast an actor as the dad who kind of looks like the stepdad. It's very weird. And it was confusing for me at first. I was like, wait a minute, that guy just did the dad live and just shave a mustache and get a Spanish accent for some reason? And then I'm like, no, this is a totally new guy. But it's just weird that they have to cast these characters, but I just wish they could get a few more just cameo roles for these people that would draw me in a little bit more, because this no-name actor guy who I'm supposed to like really feel for, he's the cool dad, it just didn't work for me. But then we get to the real payoff, which is she goes up to her room and explodes, and we see that wonderful shot of Jeremy Renner like shooting the arrow as he jumps off the top of the building and swinging to safety. And I'm like, okay, that was all worth it. But the first part of this, I was like, I'm not feeling anything right now.
To your point earlier about totally lost what I was saying. Sorry.
Let's talk about the dog. Who's the one-eyed dog?
Lucky the pizza dog, baby. I love it. I love that it's a title. I love this dog.
Does this dog have superpowers? Does it know what's going on, or is it just the dog that's cool?
Did it steal the watch?
I think it did. I think it swallowed it.
I feel like they did a bad job showing that. Also, if I'm hanging out with a dog and it shits a watch, I'm pretty sure I'm leaving the watch in the shit.
Yeah, that shit's gonna get scooped up in a bag. It's like the key to Avengers Tower or something like that, right? Or Avengers Compound. That's what they said.
Oh, did they?
Because that was a line. Yeah, he was like, cool, this is the Avengers Compound watch. The guy that picked it up was like, I found it. I found the watch that something about the Avengers Compound.
I think they just got it from there, the same thing as they got the Ronin suit from the compound.
Yeah.
Because the compound is where the endgame final battle was.
Ah, got it. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that compound's gone now, right?
Could it be Tony's watch, though? Like,
that's the only thing I can think of. That's the only watch we know of. I mean, because there was the time things, but then there was the one from Iron Man 2? No, Civil War.
Civil War, yeah.
So you think it's an Iron Man suit?
Maybe. I don't know.
That'd be cool. I don't think it'd be a whole suit, though, right? Unless
just a hand.
It could be like some technology we don't know about, like the
super nano
suit that would like come around.
I remember what I was going to say is earlier Nick was talking about some of the villain plots being a little bit kind of like, and I to an extent agree. I thought the auction scene was really cool. I dug that. I really liked Haley kind of infiltrating into it and doing the whole go get Mike thing and having it backfire. I love that Gary came through. That was great. But I do agree that there was enough characters and enough like lines of dialogue that you really needed subtitles for. Like the fight between Vera Farmiga and the dude that ends up getting killed is like really just like out there, and it's just happening, and everything happens really fast, and it's like you're understanding that like you're not supposed to trust people, but I feel like there's too many people not to trust. But in typical murder mystery fashion, I watched it again and it's really satisfying. It's like once you kind of like know what's coming, like being able to look for it and listen a little more clearly, I think goes a long way for this. And I think it's gonna, hopefully if they keep this up, I think that the 6-episode run when it's done is gonna tell a really cool story that like is rewarding as it continues to go on, because I'm excited to see who this character at the end is, like how she actually like relates to the story and stuff. I don't know too much about her. I know she's a deaf superhero, and she, that's why we kind of see her like put her hand against the speaker
to feel
Yeah, but what's really cool, I mean, first off, Tracksuit Mafia and this is they're incredible. I love the translation from them, from the comics to this. I love that they're not afraid to commit to bro. In the comics, they say bro like legitimately every line. So it's like, I'm like, all right, they definitely got that across
it's
in this.
So ridiculous. I love it. It's so ridiculous. It really, it sounds like when me and Snowbike Mike are playing games at night. I love that. I want to dial it back. I love that line. I think the funniest moment of comedy in this was when she was like, the guy comes up, he's like, who told you to work here? She's like, Gary. He goes, I'm Gary. Who are you? She goes, well, so that's the problem right there, Gary. You don't even know my name. And she did a great job with that line. And I lost the other line I was going to talk about, or the other moment I was going to talk about. But
one of my favorite lines comedically was the one about surprises, where she's talking to the stepdad, and she was like, you can't know about surprises. Like, yeah, but some of them you can. I like that a lot.
Oh, I remember the other thing I was going to say they have that great moment where he's like, she's like trying to figure out what his strategy is for. Oh, she's like, oh, you're putting me on the inside so you can protect me from yada, yada, yada. He goes, no. This is the only place I can hear you because I have a hearing aid in. And she goes, oh, what happened? And we get a quick smash of the 10 years of him just getting the shit kicked out of him, trying to hang with the Avengers.
Like, no, he goes, no.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't know, really. I like that one. I like that I like that we're finding him sort of like, yeah, he's older and he's retired and he's broken. But man, him at the Ren Fair or him at the LARPing Fair, I liked. I was like, all right, this is tickling me.
I liked, and I thought that was funny. But is no one gonna bring up that this random fireman fucking stole like an outfit out of someone's house that was on fire?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he just found it, right? I mean, it's like
that's
a derelict
thing.
That's
not how it works.
Don't forget.
If you go to a burning house, you don't just find things.
I
found a PlayStation 5 in a house that was mostly not on fire.
I think if you are called, I don't know for sure, but I think if you're a firefighter and you're just called to a house, you have free reign to pick one item out of that house that you want. I like those Jordans. I'm going to take those Jordans.
Nick, I agree that I love that scene of the flashback of all the different things that could have caused the hearing loss. But I love that it was set to Little Drummer Boy as well. And I just love the pervasive use of Christmas music, just like throughout this entire thing to like back up the score. And it's just
absolutely,
like, it feels like Christmas. It's kind of cool. There's like, New York is so special for so many reasons, but there is that tie to New York. And I think it's because of things like Home Alone that kind of really made us all associate that city with Christmas time. So,
well, also it's like, you know, as an American, it's the great American city, and seeing anything happen there is just like, it is the epitome of America. And I love that. And I love every time they have to show the exact same shot of in anything that's happening in New York during Christmas. It's the big ass Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And it's dope. You know, it's great. It really makes you feel warm for the holidays. And again, I mean, him walking around with the same actors, presume these are the same kids that have been in everything, right?
They are. Yeah. So the girl is Joe Russo's daughter.
Yeah.
The director.
So she was at the very, very beginning of Endgame, right? Where mm-hmm. he was teaching her and then he turns around and she's gone and he's like, where's everyone?
Yeah.
You can't really make up for that level of chemistry with actors, right? You can't, it's so hard to just be like, it's a pet peeve of mine. I know this is going to drive you guys crazy, but I have a couple pet peeves. I know it's going to be a shocker for you guys. One of them is when people just don't come across as friends who have known each other for a long time or family who's been together for a long time. And it's a very, very hard thing to do, especially for actors who've never met. But the fact that these people have actually been in movies together and at least have some chemistry going into this, I think goes a really long way.
Well, fun thing too is the youngest kid, Nate, who's a little older now. Remember, he was the baby from Age of Ultron. That his name's Nate because he's named after Natasha.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then his middle name's Pietro for Quicksilver.
That's cool.
So that's fun. Yeah. It's just crazy that we're this far into this. There's that type of references. One other reference that was there that is really, truly bizarre is that clock tower, bell tower in the beginning is called Stane Tower, like Obadiah Stane, which like, why would you honor him?
Well, maybe he bought it a long time ago.
Also, maybe no one knows. Like that's
It's been a while since I watched Iron Man 1, so I don't remember. I just thought that was a weird pull. But it does go back to it's all in New York.
The CEO getting murdered by like the new CEO, or you know, not a good look stock wise.
Yeah,
yeah, they probably would have changed the name of that tower for sure. But it's kind of cool that, I mean, harkening back to like they're like, well, he was a huge donor or something like that, so we named the tower after him and stuff like that. I think that's kind of cool just to fill that in.
And then one other thing I wrote down in terms of comedy stuff was he didn't drink the potion. What's he thinking?
Yeah.
It's a LARPing thing. The cling, cling, cling. Like, it's so fucking stupid, but it's so funny. It's so funny. Well, I'm extremely excited for the rest of this show. Like I said, we're going to be reviewing episode 3 in just a couple days. So stay tuned right here to youtube.com/kindoffunny. But until then, let us know in the comments below what you thought about this and leave a like, because guess what, motherfuckers, the dislike button's gone.
Wow, we won, Tim. Now they can't dislike us. Now we'll hit 300,000 subscribers.